Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio AM 1000. This is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you live from San Diego, California. Tonight, here on the 11th Hour Ministries, we are here to study the Bible, the Word of God, and what we call the mystery of the gospel. We consider this to be a 20th century application to timeless instruction, the Word of God according to the Bible, and how it applies to our modern day life. Here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we clearly and boldly say that this is a miracle in motion. And the reason why we say that is that when we read the Word of God, the pure, true Scripture, God is speaking to our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, and God's works can and will be done. All the promises in the Bible, God cannot and will not break a promise. And if we live according to the rules in the Bible and the ways that God would have us walk in this world according to His plan, that He will super bless our lives and that He will show us each step of the way what direction He wants us to go. And so here tonight on the 11th Hour Ministries, we'd like to open with a prayer, which is, God, please forgive all the people who are listening tonight, and actually all the people on the planet Earth, to please forgive us for all the sins that we've committed to this moment in time. And God, we ask that each of us would be changed in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits to have a soft heart. We find, God, in this world so much that there are people with hard hearts, and there's so much chaos and so many things where we trespass against each other. And we ask, God, that every step we take that's in the wrong direction, that You make us feel the pain of not honoring You and not being in accordance with Your will. And God, that each step that each man on this planet Earth takes in the right direction, that You allow him to know that it comes from You, the feeling of comfort and joy and peace and harmony. And God, we ask that this entire planet be united in Your name. God, You say in the Bible that every knee shall bow, and we truly believe here at the 11th Hour Ministries that the miracle in motion that's taking place on this planet today will actually perpetuate each man on this planet Earth eventually in our lifetimes. We pray that every knee will bow to You, and God, that the Word of God is strong and powerful, the promise and the might that You bring. It cannot be matched, and we believe in You so much, and we love You so much, and we're here to share Your love and Your name and Your word with all the people who are listening. And so we pray for all this in the name of Jesus, our brother. And that's a pretty large prayer, one might think, but I truly believe that our Father God is, in this desperate times that we live in, just as He was disappointed in mankind when Noah, during the time of Noah, that man will understand very soon that every knee will bow, or God will strike down all wicked. And in accordance to that, in Genesis 6:5, the Bible says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that He had made man on earth, and His heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, who I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And when you listen to that scripture of God who made all mankind, and how He was so disappointed in what we had done with the benefits and the luxury that God gave us of living a life of our own free will, and how we turned it into such sin and evil, that they had it. Every inclination of his thoughts on his heart was only evil all the time. Our world's kind of heading in that direction, don't you think? And so we're really feeling that God is, it's time that this cycle be broken, and God, that he can do all things, and he's intending to bring all this to a screeching halt. in a big way very soon. So we're calling tonight to here at the 11th Hour Ministries to share the Word of God, the mystery of the gospel, for the next hour. And again, this, we consider this to be a miracle in motion, because anytime we put our minds and hearts and souls and spirits together, where God says, where there are two or more, there I shall be. And we're grateful that two or more are gathered in His name. And God also says here in Revelation 3:14, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because of your lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and slave to put your eyes to so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me at the throne, just as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so again, you know, this is a world where we got into a discussion once upon a time of couch potato Christians, and you know, we're really trying to promote that God is here trying to have us turn to Him through the Word of God, through the Bible, and those who choose not to, the Bible clearly says He will spit us out, and I sure wouldn't want to be wherever you end up when you're spit out by God. And then again in Revelation 1:8, to cap all this off, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. And so, just to share a few scriptures with you tonight on what this program is about, is to take people who I was once in my life lukewarm and didn't realize that there was a Bible, there was a better way to live, there was rules according to God, there were blessings awaiting me, and as long as I was having my own free will and doing the things that I wanted to do, my world was fruitless. I had all the things a man could want, but there was a void in my heart, there was a void in my world that nothing could or will ever be able to fill other than the Word of God and the gospel itself, and to have fellowship with God and His believers. And so here at the 11th Hour Ministries, actually 2 weeks ago, we spoke with a lady named Lisa. And Lisa was very distressed. She was in a very difficult spot in her life. And there was great turmoil on her heart. So she called in here and actually at that time had feelings of suicide. She was very disappointed in the way her life had unfolded. And she's in the middle age of her life, so I don't want to give away her exact age, but she had gone through many things in her life and had come to a place where she just felt totally worn out and no place left to turn. It seemed like all things were pretty much closing in on her. Her house was going to be foreclosed, and she had all kinds of different issues that were coming at her from every angle. And so she was introduced to this program through a friend whose name is Edith, and the way that God works in this world is that he will put people in our lives that can help us to get the message through clear that he wants to have out there regarding his way and his will in his timing. So Lisa was very distressed and very discouraged, and I encouraged her to come and take an hour of her life, and also with Edith as well, encourage both of these young ladies to spend an hour of time in a Bible-based Christian church and see what God would be able to do in order to change her heart and to change her circumstances, frankly. And here in Southern California, the church that I actually happen to be a member of is called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. And what an awesome, godly home it is. If any folks that can get Cox Cable TV, KOCT-TV here in Southern California, Channel 18, between 12 and 1 on Saturday afternoons, you're able to, in the luxury of your home, see what God is doing in this church, because it's aired each week. They air the program from each Sunday morning's efforts on KOCT-TV at between 12 and 1 o'clock. Also, you can go to the web, which is lightcc.org, lightcc.org, and there's plenty of information on the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside there. They have an Awana program, children's Christian school, excuse me, child care, study classes, home Bible study, outreach programs. God is absolutely alive and well in this church, and gladly, Lisa and Edith actually attended that church today. So we're going to have Lisa calling in here to share some of her experiences from the 2 weeks ago that we first talked. I've never met her before that, never talked to her, but she actually came and came to the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside today, and she's going to, like I said, she'll be calling in here any minute to discuss the experience that she had here at the Lighthouse Christian Church. But I would like to say is that anyone in the Southern California region, there's a study class, there's a program that is set forth in the Lighthouse Christian Church, which is called the Discovery Class. And there's the basics and the Discovery Class, but it's a 14-week long program that a good brother named Tim currently is the steward of. And it's a format in which it's laid out exactly what the standards and tactics and methods that God requires, asks of us, what he expects of us, step-by-step this instruction of how we are to read our Bible, what we are to do in our walk with the Lord, how we are to be obedient. And what I know a lot of people have is that they know Scripture, they know godly people, they love God, they have God feelings, they may go to church. But what I consider that to be is people that have tools but don't really have the master craftsman's knowledge of how to use each one of these different tools to its maximum to produce awesome results. And so what the program here at the Lighthouse Christian Church, and I encourage anyone who isn't in the Southern California region to find a church that does Scripture, that follows the campaign of Scripture through their weekly meetings, that they go according to the Word of God. It's a Bible-based church that literally reads Scripture during the sermon, and that the body and blood are given, and there's a certain outline that God expects of us through the Bible. And basically what happens is that in both cases, God is calling us to learn more about how he would have us operate and what we're supposed to do in our lives according to the Word of God, and also how we are to even be obedient to his calling to us. And one of the ways that the church clearly teaches us that we need to come to the Lord in the first place is a program, again, that's very clearly outlined by the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside, is how can I be saved? And one thing that's clear is that in Romans 3:23, it says that we have all made mistakes in life. No question about it. Romans 5:8 is Christ loves us so much, he died in our place. So how do I respond to that is the question. So here at the Lighthouse Christian Church, once again, is an outline that is clearly defined as to what we are to do in response to Christ who died in our place. And the fact that we've all made mistakes is that we are, A, is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died to pay for your sins and rose again to give you eternal life. And in Matthew 6:16, it says, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So the first step is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And the second step, and this is according to the teachings that the Lighthouse Church has outlined here, is to repent or turn from your sins and ask God to forgive us for our sins. And in Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins will be maybe wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." So think about it, is repent then and turn from God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So one is to believe, two is to repent, and three is to ask Jesus to come into our lives and to be the Lord of our lives. And in Revelations 3:20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." And we just read that in the opening here of the program tonight. But so it's believe, repent, and ask Jesus into our lives. The fourth is that we are to confess, and to confess him as our Savior. You can do this at the church, and that is one of the things that's also done at the Lighthouse Church. Is there's a time during the service where they give you an opportunity to just come up and ask for prayer and confess Jesus with your mouth. Is Romans 10:9 says, if you confess him with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And also in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. So believe, repent, ask Jesus into our hearts, and confess him as our Savior. Number five is to be baptized as your own faith response. Our church offers this as well, says the Lighthouse Church. Therefore, go and make disciples. This is Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And to be baptized, there's many, many scriptures in the Bible that clearly indicate that we are to be baptized by, as adults. We are to confess our sins, repent from our sins, and then be baptized and become a new creation. So that's number five. And number six is to follow Christ, letting him lead you through the Holy Spirit and his word. And so Galatians 5:25 says, we have helpful disciples. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And think about that, is since we live by the, in the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. So basically what God's saying in his case is to let God drive. I mean, tonight we're pretty much here to the message is to let go and let God. And Lisa, who was, like I said, was in great agony in her life, actually did exactly that. She let God take over. And the transformation in her life has been awesome to see. She has been brought from a very dark place into the light. And, you know, it's been just an amazing thing. We don't have her on the line yet, so we're going to actually open the phone lines here tonight. And that is a KCEO Radio AM 1000. And anyone who has anything on their mind that would like to speak to you about this type of situation where once in their lives they were in a difficult position and they allowed the Lord into their lives, feel free to give us a call and let's talk about how God has moved powerfully in your life. But once again, we are here at the 11th Hour Ministries, and this is we are studying the Bible, which is the mystery of the gospel. And without a question, this is a miracle in motion. It's just reading the Word of God and following his commands. And so One thing that we were talking about back a few weeks ago with Lisa was that we really should be doing God's will, and we should be seeking out how to do God's will. And we want, and if we want to be have a God-blessed life, that we should be living for God's will. So in order to do that, what do we really need to do is to get our Bibles, learn what it says in the Bible, to study the Bible, and to live according to the Word of God. And there's no question whatsoever that where we doing our own will, God will not bless it. He cannot bless it if it's not according to His truth and His purpose. And in the case of in a spot where we are being blessed by God and His works, it only comes through the Word of God, through the Scripture, and through the Bible. Actually, we have a call in here from Arthur on line one, so we're going to take that call right now. How do you do, Arthur?
Well, I'm doing fine, Mark. It's nice to talk to you tonight.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Yes. And I have something on my mind that I want to share with you sort of quickly, and then you'll be free for anything else that comes up. And that is that I've been keenly aware as a Christian that I had a lot of areas of my life where I had bad attitudes I was hanging on to and different things that I knew were not pleasing to God. And always in the back, there's kind of a gnawing anxiety in the back of my mind all the time. Well, I found that as I resist those things, it's called resisting the devil in the Scripture.
Amen.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now, I found out that he doesn't go in a hurry.
Mm.
He sticks around as long as he thinks that there's any possibility you want him there.
Wow.
If you don't want him there, he gets convinced you. He's the one that can't stand rejection. And for our life, we can't stand rejection. Isn't that interesting?
It's absolutely. And it's very interesting you should say that, Arthur, because one of the things that I was going to discuss with Lisa today is that, you know, there's a time in my life when I had photographs in my home and things that were, you know, pleasing to the eye, but they were, you know, the question is what benefit or detriment, you know, comes from each thing in our lives. And what I learned was that, you know, these pictures and things that were worldly, you know, didn't really have a great benefit. I mean, they were cute to look at, and some of them were, you know, a little risque or whatever, but you know, I consider it to be art, and you know, that was just the way I lived my life. Well, what I realized was that eventually, having been called by name by the Lord to, you know, respond to Him, and being so grateful that God, you know, helped me to see His way and His will, what I ended up deciding to do, and what I encourage people to do, is to, you know, consider what things are around us and in our homes and things like that. And my thought was, Arthur, was to, you know, take away, for instance, things that aren't beneficial in the way of trinkets or anything in the house. And what I've done is I've basically filled my home with things that are of Jesus, crosses, pictures of Jesus, the, you know, things of this nature. And the reason why is, just like you say, is, you know, if Satan finds that for a minute of time in our day that we're entertaining him, or if we dwell on him or evil things or, you know, weakness, etc., then he's not going to flee. But if we fill our eyes and thoughts and hearts with all things God as much as we possibly can, and here in a very simple way of just taking things out of my home that were, you know, not necessarily beneficial, but what it did was it gives me, every time my eyes hit a picture of Jesus on the cross or any just picture of him, every time I see a cross or anything resembling our God and Jesus, it basically it returns me with even subconsciously to a level of, you know, honoring God and loving him and thinking about him and just, you know, it's all about God. And so whatever we can do to help sort of fill our eyes and ears and mouths and, you know, time, et cetera, with everything God, Satan can't stay. And so I totally agree that that's a very it's a scary thought.
Well, it's
to think
important
that,
also to get on you.
Arthur,
and circumstances.
We're losing.
Drag you down.
I'm sorry, Arthur, you're going to have to, if you're on a cell phone, you have to stay still for us because we're losing you a little bit. But go on, say that again now.
Well, get away from anything that's going to drag you down.
Exactly.
Any influence. But the point I was going to make was this. I've had quite a breakthrough in my own life because I've been just resisting all kinds of things that I've tolerated for a long time in life. And I find they're going away.
Wow.
And what I found out was that I had a greedy spirit, a thievish life, greedy in the back of my mind. That leads to discouragement, depression, and all kinds of things like that. And here it is. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. Put off all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior.
Amen.
Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Jesus Christ, has. And Brother Mark, when I got rid of a bunch of those things, I began to find that I had no more grieving spirit.
Well, it's really
a wonderful peacefulness.
And you know, it's really interesting, Arthur, is that to empty ourselves of all things negative, and you know, conscious effort to do so, is to empty ourselves of all things negative, and then to fill ourselves with all things God and good. And
yeah.
You know, Satan doesn't have the same capacity to be able to, you know, kind of overtake our, it's like a garden. And if we allow good things from God to be nurtured in thought and action, etc., then great fruit will grow and bloom. But if we continue to focus on our problems and dwell on things negative and blah, 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 I mean, eventually, yeah, that garden gets overgrown and a bunch of weeds come in, and then, you know, how on earth are you going to figure out how to get that garden back? I mean, just how much work would it possibly take? So it's pretty awesome that, you know, our God is it's so easy to fix all of this stuff that we consider to be unfixable or so large of troubles we can't get past them, when really, like you said, you purge yourself of this negativity. And purposely do that in your mind, and then you fill the thoughts that you have with word scripture, of course, no question. But when I, you know, in the mornings, I get out of bed and I think, you know, I pray to God, I thank Him, I just dwell on God and godliness and godly things and scriptures, and you know, it's become a routine for me, and that's the way to distance yourself from the world and the troubles of the world and all this stuff that drags us down, and ultimately Satan, who wants us down and out, right? And you know, it's just such an amazing thing, Arthur, is that with our God and the way He's helping so many people turn to Him at this time, we're so grateful. And now we actually have Lisa online, and I'd like to go ahead and take this call. So Arthur,
God, jump off, and I'm just happy to be talking to you and listening to you.
God bless you, and we love you with the love of the Lord, as you know, sir.
All right.
Take care, Arthur.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hello, Lisa, line two. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark.
How are you doing, Lisa?
You know what? Let me say first, because I just got it on the butt end of your goodbye to Arthur.
Yes, yes.
To Arthur and Josephine, thank you so much, and don't stop praying for me. I'm totally in that space that I definitely need your prayers, and even Satan lives among me still, which I just found out, because, can I explain, Mark? Do I have time?
Please do.
I've been trying to call Arthur and Josephine in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
I don't have a long-distance service, but I bought a phone card. I can call Mark in Oceanside. I can call anywhere, but I can't call these Christian people reaching out to me in my time of need. And I even called information. I said, I think I have the wrong area code. And they said, no, you do. You have the right. I can't call them because every time on this calling card, it comes up invalid number.
Wow.
The last three numbers of my PIN on my calling card are 666.
Wow.
I have a sister. She's extremely devout. And I wanted to call her and tell her that I was calling you tonight and tell her about my day at the Lighthouse Church. My phone card keeps saying that her number is invalid.
Wow.
I can't call her.
Well, Lisa, we're going to get you a new phone call. And guess what? If it ain't that, we'll get you a new phone. How about that one?
I have to tell you, you know. Well, and then I have a roommate who has a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood explaining to him, you know what? My house is either going to be sold in a quick sale or it's up for auction because I adjusted and I can't afford it. My husband passed away. But I asked him, can I use your cell phone? Because I asked, do you have a free long distance on the weekend? He said, yeah. Can I use your cell phone to call this radio show? And I had just stood there and said, he's been here for 6 years.
Hmm.
I said, I won't leave you.
Hmm.
I'll let you know, as I know, things that are occurring.
Hmm.
I reassured him. I said, can I use your phone to call this Christian radio show? He goes, no.
Ooh.
Huh.
Wow.
So I was pretty desperate to get a hold of you tonight.
Well.
And I thank the Lighthouse Church, and I thank you and Judy for your warm welcome. And for anyone who's listening, I know you see this on TV and you hear it, but I didn't know Mark from Adam. And I walked up, and even Edith, who he put the roof on her house as she had met him, did not know him. And I looked across the waiting congregation to enter the sanctuary, and I said, well, there he is.
Hmm.
And I looked up, and Mark had open arms to me.
Hmm.
And it was a God thing. It was definitely a God thing.
Well,
happened today.
You know, it's...
And you glowed, Mark.
Well, I just am so pleased that our Father is, you know, is so merciful. Lisa, you and I have a lot in common. We've had a lot of pain in our lives, and we've been kicked and whipped and beaten, you know, so many different things that probably many listeners can relate to.
I would not even reveal to many listeners the depths that I've been.
Well, and you and I have shared some things that, of course, will never be shared with others. But, you
right.
know, there's, you know, there's every single person has a dark place. And when, first of all, when we confess, as we talked about, in confession is not for God to hear what sins we've committed. God already knows what sins we've committed. Confession is for God's gracious way of allowing us to cleanse ourselves and to start. It's like washing your hands before you eat your dinner. And if you notice tonight at the opening of the show is that I pray each week that God forgive us all for the sins that we've committed to this moment in time, because we're all sinners. We all fall short. And I'm only trying to get as clean as we can be as a group of people gathered together in his name so that he can be here and bless, you know, this hour. And Lisa, one of the things that I'm really curious is that, you know, having met you today, and having been just absolutely...
been my helicopter.
Having been your helicopter. We talked about the old story about the farmer who, for the listeners who don't know Lisa, we better go through that. Is real quick story is there's an old farmer and there's floods are coming and he's a grumpy guy who doesn't want to leave his house. And the water,
but a believer.
And a believer. And the water comes to the first floor level, and the guy comes up in a boat and says, listen, the waters are rising. You have to get in the boat. Let's go. He says, no, I've been here forever. I'm going to stay here. This flood's going to pass, and I'll be fine. So by that time, the second level of the second floor of his house, the water's up that high. Another boat comes along and says, guy says, hey, you got to get in the boat. You're going to die. This water's going to rise. It's not going to stop. You're going to drown. Guy says, no, it's going to be fine. I've been here forever and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to stay and everything's going to be fine. And finally, he's on the peak of his roof and a helicopter flies over and his ankles are in water. Everything is underwater, submerged. And the helicopter on the overcom says, get in this helicopter right now. You're going to die. We're here to save you. We're running out of gas. Get in this helicopter right now. No. It's going to be fine. I've been here forever. This water's going to be... Finally, he drowns. Goes to heaven, gets to the front of the gates of heaven, and says to God, I have a question for you. Why on earth did you have me drown when I believed in you that you were going to save me through all this flooding? And God said, what do you want? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. And Lisa and I kind of kidded that God has put me in her life to be the helicopter. And I told her, I'll be the tow truck or the helicopter, whatever it takes, but we're not letting go, and we're hanging in there together no matter what happens. But
and I was talking to Edith on the way home from church, and I said, as people who are victims of sexual molest,
Mm-hmm.
We think if anyone reaches out to help us, they love us.
Mm.
And there was a point where, seriously, and Edith has heard my sobs, has had many, for to not leave me here. Don't leave me at the gates of despair.
And I understand.
And I begged Mark, don't leave me here. And I reminded him from where it was he came. And I said, remember when you were here? That's where I'm at, and don't leave me here.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark said, I won't.
And, it's
and then Mark's life screwed up, and Mark said, you know what? To protect myself from the demons that are out there in the world, I need to just, like, turn my phone off.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be with God.
Amen.
And I was at my depths of despair.
Mm-hmm.
And he left me there, but God was telling me, you know what? It's not Mark that is your Savior, it's me.
Amen.
That is your Savior. And God wants me, I so understand that he wants me to just look at him, and that's why everybody has their bottom. I just never realized that my bottom was going to be stripped of a $90,000 a year income, of raising two kids who I had legal guardianship who biologically weren't mine, but decided they just didn't want to live with me. They were too damaged before they came.
Mm.
And to leave me, I mean, when I leave this place that I'm at right now, I'm going out into the world, and I can't walk with the world anymore. I have to walk the world with God.
Amen.
And I know that deep in my heart.
And you know what's amazing for the listeners is that Lisa and I, after the last 2 weeks ago, we were on the program together. We'd never spoken with each other ever before that moment.
I never met him before today.
Yeah. And so after the program, I got in touch with her, and we talked very, in depth about what God was purposing. God had us both being meeting together, and what we were going to, how we were going to work through this together and share God's love together. And she, made the comment of, don't leave me. And I told her, I promised her that I had something.
For me, it was death or it was God.
Exactly. And
that's where I was at. It was take my life or walk with God.
And I promised her that I would never leave. And instantly.
Tell them what you really promised me, Mark.
Within 1 hour's time, that your life would change forever if you were only going to go show up to this Lighthouse Church. Because I was intending to give you the freedom of the Bible and the Word of God, et cetera, et cetera. And so when I was, making these bold comments based on my faith in God and Lisa's hunger for the truth, and as soon as that scenario unfolded, I was actually tempted very desperately into a difficult place and literally had to submarine for a few days with some issues that came up in my life, and some very Satan was basically tricking me to a place where the temptation
to feel away from me.
The temptation of using drugs was, brought upon me, and it was very strong. And so I just pretty much climbed in my little turtle shell and read my Bible and turned my phone off for a few days. Well, here Lisa, was waiting for calls from me that didn't come. And we have agreed now to understand that God basically, came to Lisa and said, listen, I don't have any grandchildren.
Huh.
I don't have any brothers and sisters.
It's nobody.
I'm not working through Mark to have a relationship with you through Mark. I'm working with Mark to have a relationship with you one-on-one. And
right.
It starts at our weakest link. It starts at our most painful time. And so since then, in that time of despair, in that time when things were so tough, being very, very concerned and not ever stopping to think about you, Lisa, or, pray for you tremendously, storming heaven for you, God had then relinked us on the phone, and we had spent, some time together on the phone since 2 weeks ago. And then we had kind of set up an appointment, we set up a time that you were going to go to church last week and Edith was going to go, and it didn't happen. And, the thing about that whole scenario was that it hurt my heart, but it only hurt my heart for the fact
that... Actually, when you called, Mark, you said, I didn't see you at church, but I kind of expected that.
Exactly. And, you know, this is a scary type of thing. I mean, keeping it real, you know.
I haven't known life any different.
And people, you know, this and there's cults, there's all kinds of crazy places on earth that, you know.
Sheeps in wolf clothing
and all these type of things. So, you know, there's a fear factor, there's all types of reasons.
And there's
why,
a comfort zone,
there's hesitation, there's Satan tricking you, there's all kinds of reasons why people, you know.
I've lived in my abuse for 50 years.
Right. And so,
I can't imagine life out of my abuse.
Amen. Well, you can now, right?
Well, I decided, it was probably summer of last year, I decided I do not want death to be my happiness.
Amen.
And I truly, what keeps me on my path right now is that I cannot believe that God would have stripped me of everything that I was and I am, not to have a better thing.
Amen.
And if I don't hold on to that, Satan's going to win. And he'll have my life.
But
I don't want to go there. I don't want death to be my happiness.
And it's not an option. And when we first talked on the radio here,
it definitely was an option. Monday night, it was an option.
It was an option. But I think, Lisa, what I'd really like to sort of focus on is, you know, through all this first meeting time and the, you know, sort of bouncing back and forth through some difficulty with the connection between you and I, God's been working super powerfully and was before we ever met.
I can't even make phone calls.
Well, as it turns out,
that's how powerful he is.
Tell me, after you have now, you know, been spent an hour in the Lighthouse Church, how it felt to you to be in a
home. Next weekend, I'm getting baptized.
Hmm.
Next weekend, I'm going to study really hard this week. And Mark has provided me with some literature, and I'm going to look in the scripture. And even, I was reading the book of Job, and where, you know, for 13 years, I owned my own business. And I was successful, and I comforted people, and I believed. My answering machine said, "Thank you for calling Aunt Lisa's Grooming, where Jesus continues to bless the shop as I use the gift he gives me."
Hmm.
And I preached to people out of that shop, and I truly believe that God ran that shop. So why cannot God run my life too?
Wow. Well, and you know, did you, going to the Lighthouse Church, you know, then and what I was speaking of earlier, Lisa,
they were so welcoming.
It's amazing, isn't it?
They were. And I want to thank, like, I don't remember names.
Tim,
I met a lot of people today.
Tim and
but Lynn. The pastor, when I went up to the altar, and the pastor who met with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would like to, you know, just wish God's blessings on him.
That was Brother Tim.
Okay, and the man, when we were leaving, and he shook our hands again with the glasses.
I'm not really sure, but, you know, they're all guys. It was an angel.
Well, he was, you know, he greeted us on the way in, and then the way out, he said, you know, just have a great week and just go with God. And it's like, I can't go any other way.
Well, and the thing about, you know, and really any, you know, Bible-based church, for those who are listening, you know, it just so happens that I belong to this church here in Southern California called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. But for those who aren't in that area, you know, any Bible-based church, what we learned in church
Definitely.
Today was that when the, during the sermon, that they actually read scripture and apply how the scripture being read applies to our modern day lives. The body and blood is given at the service, and you know, this is a time.
You know, Mark, you need to hit on the 98% of people who are saved don't reach out.
Wow, why don't you explain that to them? Because that was powerful, powerful.
That was powerful. It's like 98% of the people who believe do not reach out because they had a certain circle, and their circle now are all believers.
Yeah.
So they're comfortable in their circle, and they need to reach out, and they need to walk the world, in the world, but with God in the world.
Amen. And, you know,
reach out. And that was, like, totally powerful to me.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, in reaching out is just really trying to share God's love and his word.
But baby Christians need to know, it's like right now I have been so wounded that I do want to be a fisher of men, but I do understand that I do not have the knowledge to do that.
Well, and you certainly are not required or requested to go to one of the things that we are cautioned
in... But
I'm
the groomer for God.
Atta girl. one of the things that we're cautioned is that where a person, you know, let's say a person is an alcoholic or a drug addict or et cetera, to be an alcoholic and then be... to think that going into bars to save people would be a good idea is not something that's prudent because, you know, God will have a way for others to reach out to those particular people, but, you know, why tempt yourself beyond what you are strong enough to understand?
That's like giving yourself to Satan.
You know, you're pretty much just putting yourself in harm's way, and why would you do that? Don't bother, and really should be terribly, you know, you should actually avoid doing that, but... You know, our God is mighty and powerful, and He's got a plan for each one of us. And mainly, Lisa, what I see is that you have gone and submitted your life to God. And you
like
have,
you say, I know too much.
You know too much. You can't not go there now because...
I understand that to know God's word and then not to follow it is worse than not knowing it at all.
That's true.
And I understand that.
And you will... And God will have a correction awaiting those who go in that direction. And remember, we talked about boundaries, and one thing that kind of came to my mind today was when you're flying over the, you know, United States, or if you take an air flight to any, you know, place on the planet, you're looking down over patches of farmland or whatever, and it's all cordoned off and, you know, patchwork, exactly, like a big giant, what do they call it, quilt, right? So... Isn't it interesting that in our lives we are a people who, do we make really super clear boundaries for ourselves and for the others around us? And one of the things that I'd like to bring out right now, Lisa, is, you know, the people that we are, surrounded by, like this person who said that you couldn't use his cell phone. Well, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on anyone, but I would say that, you know, that doesn't, if someone's not going to encourage you to go to the light, then they are of, that's something that is more promoting the darkness, per se. And I don't know if that was a Christian thing, oriented question that he didn't want to respond to because you were calling a Christian station, or he just didn't want you to use the cell phone. But
could have been Satan going to any length to get me in touch with you.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. And, and you know, knowing some of the background and what you and I've talked about, one of the parts of this, you know, scenario is that we really need to be careful and set serious, serious boundaries for ourselves and those around us.
When I'm sitting, I'm teetering.
Well, we need to shove you all the way. You know what?
Well, and that's why I have a helicopter.
That's what I'm talking about. What we don't want is just like your neighbors. You know, we all live in a house. We all have a certain boundary that is our yard and our home. Well, get away from the curb and don't get near the fences, right? Stay really close. Stay either in the house or, you know, somewhere near the actual structure of your home so that, you know, you're not near the fence and you're not near the curb, because that's where the boundaries can be overlapped and there's more chance that Satan's going to do his work.
Where we come in, Mark, amen.
You know, don't let them cross the fence and don't let them pass the curb, but don't even, and then for us not to go near those boundaries ourselves. That's the main ingredient. You know, just as a home has its own, you know, where our homes are defined by fences and curbs and things like that, you know, people don't come driving down the street and come pulling in your driveway and think that, you know, yesterday that was my house and it stopped at the fence line, but today, you know, your garage is mine. Well, let's kind of keep our, you know, selves toward the core of goodness, toward the core of God, and keep away from the fringes that are very dangerous to us. And, you know, Lisa, we're going to take another call. You hold on here because we're going to go with a three-way call with Josephine at this time. I believe we may have just lost her, but we'll get her back.
Here I am.
Oh, hello, Josephine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Enjoying listening to you and Lisa share together. And
Lisa?
Just wanted to really...
Wait, Josephine. Lisa?
Uh-huh, Lisa.
Lisa? I think we lost Lisa.
Uh-oh.
Hold on one second, Josephine. We're going to get her back on the line here. But, you know, this is a really powerful, you know, time for us to have Lisa, who has, her life has changed, Josephine. I mean, this is a woman who, by submission, by submitting her life to the Lord, you know, the lights are on. I mean, this woman felt God's love in this church today, and here she is back on the line again. Hey, Lisa, are you there?
I am here.
Lisa, please allow me the privilege of introducing you officially to Josephine, and I believe this will be the first time you two have ever really talked to each other.
Hi, Josephine.
Josephine, well, we lost her. So, you know what? Today's kind of a crazy day on the radio, but you know what we know?
I tell you, I couldn't even call you up. I had to have a girlfriend. I had to have Edith call you and tell you to call me because there was no way Satan was going to let me get there today.
Well, can you imagine? We're having more phone difficulties.
Exactly.
Technicalities right now. But...
Well, Lisa, here I am.
Lisa?
Josephine. Hello?
Hi, Lisa.
Josephine.
Oh, okay.
Josephine,
can you hear me?
Josephine, can you hear Lisa?
Yes,
Josephine.
I can hear Lisa.
There you go.
I'm still praying for your mother and your sister.
Well, thank you, Lisa. We have not given up on you one bit.
Don't give up on me
that.
Because it's so easy for me to do that right now. Like I asked Mark, love me until I can love myself.
With God's love.
And I'm getting there.
Yes,
amen. Amen. That's so wonderful. And I'm so glad that
poor
Mark's
Josephine.
There.
I can't even call her up.
That you're allowing him to reach out to you.
It's either death or there, Josephine. I am so, last night I laid in bed and it was like I tried to empty out the shell that I am and just try to take God into me.
And he's there.
He's there.
Yes.
But I was that person on the roof waiting for the helicopter, waiting for God. Because I owned my own business for 13 years. Do you know how many people in 13 years said, come to church with me. Come to church with me. But today at the Lighthouse Church, they talked about that person standing on the street who was, what did they call him, Mark? The person who was preaching on the street.
Oh.
If you sin, you'll go to hell.
Right, the evangelist, the guy, the soapbox evangelist.
Exactly, and that's what I felt all these people were. It's like, my church is the best church. You need to come to my church. Like, I didn't need to come to a church. I needed to come to God.
God and his family.
Right, and I know that even having hooked up with the Lighthouse Church, I'm on my way out of here.
Amen.
And I'm just going to pack up what makes me happy. And I'm going to go, and from here on out, I'm going to make happy memories.
Amen.
And I know I'm not forever with the Lighthouse Church, but there's something that the Lighthouse Church is offering me right now, and that's accept God. 50 years, I used to tell people, if someone could just teach me how to love myself, that I wouldn't let the world do to me what it does.
Amen.
And where my hookup was when Mark said, I can teach you self-love.
Amen.
And after 50 years, he had the hook in me, hook, line, and sinker.
And I'm not letting go, remember?
You better not let go because, you know what? God is our leader, but you are the one that has me on the tow truck towing me to God.
And I'm not. We got you locked
down.
Don't
let me go.
Yeah, the thing is, Lisa, is that we're, you know, so grateful, first of all. You know, to me, I happen to live my life in a way that I pray that God would bring into my life people who are what I was in the place of...
And had it not been, I told you at church today, had it not been that you were in those depths that
right.
you were,
mm-hmm.
you could not understand from where it is I come.
I have been where you've been. I've been.
My friend Edith loves me from now to the end of eternity, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's never used.
Yeah.
She's from Germany, never drank.
Yeah.
She doesn't even like beer.
Yeah.
She can't relate, but God was impressing on her. Call Mark about Lisa. Call Mark about Lisa.
And what we talked about was that, you know, the fact that I've been an alcoholic, a drug abuser, and many different things that you and I have in common, and which is what I mentioned earlier, is and having been willing to drop to my knees in submission to God and in my obedience to stay away from those things, and even been tempted, as you said, Lisa, that the fact that, you know, I have stumbled in my walk from the times when I, you know, recovered from drugs and alcohol, and even to the point where continue to this day to be tempted but don't give in to those temptations is keeping it real. I mean, this program, the 11th Hour Ministries, it's here for because the hour is late. And the fact of the matter is that I'm just a man who's learned how to read my Bible, share God's love, and be obedient to Him and have my life blessed by that. The Lighthouse Christian Church is a group of people who love God and want to share His truth and share His word. There's no ulterior motives. There's no reason, you know, they're not pressing.
But there's people out there, Mark, that are like me. And it's not that I don't find God worthy. God is totally worthy of my love, my affection, my respect, my devotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at myself.
Used to look at yourself.
I'm teetering.
That's... Well,
that am I worthy?
You are worthy. And you
and
know
even
what?
Though God knows how many feathers the sparrow has, and how many hairs there are on my head. I was reading Job this week, and Job said, have you not comforted people?
Mm.
And I have.
And,
because I can believe that God loves anyone but me.
Listen.
I have said to people, at the end of the world, there will be fleas, cockroaches, and me.
Hey, Lisa, listen, we have 1 minute left, and I want to just close with this. Is to
I just want to touch the people who are out there thinking that life is not there, and it is.
Amen. Lisa, I want you to know, though, is that, you know, God brought us together, and that makes us, in where two or more are gathered, there He shall be. And the Bible clearly says that whoever believes in God and follow His commands, that's my mother, my brother, my sister. You are my sister in Christ. I love
Amen.
You with the love of the Lord.
You glow with the aura of God today, and I swear to you.
You know, the fact of the matter is, Lisa, that you are God's precious, precious child. Our Father God loves you, and He has a purpose for your life. And I'm so privileged to have met you, and it's such a great joy to share not only the pain but the journey that you're on. We're going to find God's going to bring you to His plan for your life, which is a double blessing for all the times when the locusts swarmed. We love you both with the love of the Lord, girls. We got to go. KCEO Radio.
Bye, Lisa.
I love you.
God bless you all.
God bless you, Mark.
God bless.